Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
How pretty this could look, then you are sadly mistaken. I am also told by someone close to Brown that he would love to go to Seattle. And you were told recently by our Mike Silver that the Seahawks have discussed it, at least internally. So put this all together, and I believe that there is a shot that Antonio Brown could wind up as a Seahawk. Now, I will also say this. There are some teams that are willing to strike quickly with Antonio Brown to sign him, and other teams that would rather let the process play out. He's still under investigation by the league. I believe the Seahawks are going to let things play out before it happens. So I don't see this happening quickly.
Seahawks, 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 and Seahawks. I hope you caught that right there, because Mike Garfolo just, yeah, I'll even throw Deshaun Watson and the Texans into the mix. You can't do that. You can't do that. Like,
he was just dropping names.
Like any good quarterback in the league, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and throw them out there because, well, Antonio Brown, yeah, he's probably still going to be really good if he can actually, stop being a knucklehead for a second.
Yeah.
But if there is one team you can't throw into the mix there, it's the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson, right?
Who? Why?
Like, Antonio, like, you think Cal McNair and Bill O'Brien, amongst all of the crap that they've mucked up already, could welcome in seamlessly Antonio Brown into this right now as it goes?
Let me ask
no
you.
No comment on that.
Let me ask you this. Did you think they would trade DeAndre Hopkins?
No, absolutely not.
Where did that come
from? There are three dudes that I thought would retire as Houston Texans, like would be Houston Texan lifers. And one did not, and he found his way into the Ring of Honor anyway, and that's Andre Johnson. Two, J.J. Watt, I'm not even confident in that anymore because DeAndre Hopkins is not a Houston Texan, and that was the third guy that I thought would be a Houston Texan lifer. Like, I just can't put anything past, like, how they're operating right now. But the one thing I feel the most confident in, if there's one thing at all, it's you're not going to bring in somebody that thinks they're bigger than your team. And hell, if there's one thing that we know about the Houston Texans and their mantra, not one player is bigger than the team. What did Bill O'Brien say like a couple of months ago? T-E-A-M. Like twice in 2 minutes during a press conference.
Capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M.
My bad, coach. You capitalized it.
He did capitalize it.
Twice.
Caps lock on.
My bad. It's not going to happen. That's where I'm coming from on it now.
I think the biggest thing that I heard from that audio was the quarterbacks are driving the car on this one. The quarterbacks are trying to campaign to bring Antonio in.
Yeah.
So now it goes to the relationship between O'Brien and Watson. Watson really, hey, let's bring this guy in. He can do this. He can do that. Here, what's the relationship between those two? Is he going to listen? Is he going to be like, hey, this might be an idea. If we can, I don't have a problem with bringing him in at the right price. And if he acts up, let's take off. But I think the best place for him would probably be Seattle. I think Pete Carroll knows how to relate to those guys and get them to buy into their culture and be able to tame him per se.
Yeah.
And make him buy in like, hey, this is what we want to do. Plus, Russell Wilson is established and I think he'll fall in line with what's going on in Seattle.
There's a couple of different layers here when you're dealing with tough characters and guys that come with a lot of baggage like Antonio Brown. One, Pete Carroll's name and the Seattle Seahawks probably get thrown into any conversation because of a couple of things. And one, if I'm going to mention Pete Carroll, it's going to be because, well, I guess he's got that like fatherly figure. And as you said, like he gets how to handle a variety of different players, right? We've seen it before with Marshawn Lynch, did a fantastic job this past season with Jadeveon Clowney
in a
heightened situation. Richard Sherman, certainly before that. Why couldn't he find a way to reel in or tamp down, Antonio Brown and get him to focus on football once again?
And you got to mention, too, he was at USC with Bush and all those guys, and those guys were at the top of the mountain over there in L.A. So he knows how to handle guys. My biggest fear with Antonio Brown is it's all about Antonio Brown. So if he's not getting his catches, I don't want him in Deshaun Watson's face. I don't want him being upset talking about A, B, and C, or A, B needs the ball, or A, B this, A, B that, and throwing temper transfer like a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you will hope this situation that happened this past year helps him grow up a little bit, like, hey, I just want to be on the team, want to play a game that I love, and he'll make better decisions. But it's always that question. Can you bring this guy in the locker room, and will he – I hate to say it. Will he behave, right? I don't want to sound like he's a 13-year-old kid or a freshman.
But he's kind of acted like that,
but
right?
You know what I mean? Like, you have to – you when it comes to Antonio Brown, you know he's super talented. That's not an issue. It's how will he behave in the locker room? How will he handle himself in the locker room? Will it be all about him, or will it be about the capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M?
You're right, but here's the thing. I think about Antonio Brown, flaming out in New England when he was given an opportunity up there. And it's a similar conversation, right, that we've started to have this week since Cam Newton signed in New England. There's a lot of different angles and things to talk about in that regard. Like, okay, well, is it Belichick, or is it Brady with Belichick? Like, what made the New England Patriots so successful? Like, who's going to be lost without the other, right? It's going to be interesting to see with Brady in Tampa and Belichick in New England. Well, we thought it was going to be with Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer, that quarterback combination. But now you go out and you make the move for a guy like Cam Newton, who a lot of people I felt like were out on him after he'd fumbled in the Super Bowl, the way that he handled that press conference after the fact, that sore loser mentality and just the immaturity that he had shown really since that point, Cecil. But then, too, just the way that he handles himself in the media, the press conferences, the outfits, dude doesn't really hold much back. That doesn't really fly with how Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots like their players to operate. And I feel like we've started to talk ourselves into this week that, you know what? That could probably work in New England with Cam Newton, not just because, well, it's Bill Belichick and he runs things the way that he runs things, but it's Cam Newton that's got a lot to prove. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about that later on, but I bring that up because Antonio Brown is another tough character who's got a lot of other different kind of baggage, but he couldn't make it work up in New England with another great opportunity. And while the Patriots have had success up there, they couldn't fix him long enough to have both sides reap the rewards there. So why would Antonio Brown work elsewhere? Like, much less Seattle, right? Like, I guess I could see that more than any other place, but certainly not here in Houston with a very gruff and unproven but very loud and boisterous guy at times in Bill O'Brien.
Hell no.
To be honest, I can't put it past anybody. But to go back to AB in New England real quick, AB in New England, he played one game,
if
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And he made the mistake of going over and beyond and texting or tweeting whatever to a certain young female, and New England got word of it and let him go ASAP, right? Mm-hmm. They told him from jump, it's one strike and you're out. So he made that mistake. I think, personally, if you give AB a chance, a legit chance, I don't think, because at that point he was on like his third, fifth, seventh strike, right? Struck out in Oakland, struck out wherever else, now he's here, right? Or no, it was Pittsburgh, Oakland, and then he was end up in New England. And it was just like, listen, if you don't act right, you're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a chance. And I think if he goes somewhere, he's going to be like, listen, I've seen it taken away. I've seen this. I've seen my opportunity basically dwindle, right? And I know this is my last. He's 31 years old. I want to say 31, 32 years old. This is his last chance, his last go around of getting back in the NFL on a team. So I do think he will, for the most part, because AB is going to be AB. Let's get that correct. AB is going to be AB. Antonio Brown is going to be Antonio Brown. You could take somebody out of somewhere, but you can't change who they are, right? He's going to be Antonio Brown, but I think if he's in the right situation, he will flourish.
Yeah, I just have a hard time like buying in to a guy that people talked about legit, Cecil, him being mentally unstable at one point. You know, like legitimately mentally unstable, like people were worried about what this guy's next action was going to be. That's how, like, I feel, dramatic his situation had become, like, well beyond his time in Oakland. But when, the stories of, sex abuse against some artist, that was doing a painting of him or something like that. And he came onto her and, all that stuff. It was just weird. It was so weird. And I just imagine what that does, even if it's true or not, if it comes out and it's made public, like what that does to a guy's confidence, what that makes you feel like as a human. And if you're asking yourself, if people start talking about like, man, what's this guy's mental state right now? That's kind of a scary thing. And to turn that around, like in like what, 6 months time and go play football again, like you're back to your old self, like the game changer you were in Pittsburgh. That's hard for me to get around. That's hard for me to wrap my mind around. But I guess if there's anybody that could do it, that could help him see that, look, life, your personal life is one thing, but what can help you reel that back in is football and being around a team again and being wanted and needed. I guess Pete Carroll would be that guy, because I struggle to find very many other coaches that, one, would be willing to take on that responsibility and that risk, but then two, that could.
Yeah.
And he'd be that one guy.
Yeah. I don't know too many. I think Harbaugh could handle it in Baltimore, but I wouldn't want to put Lamar Jackson in that situation. Like, I wouldn't want to ruin my young quarterbacks.
Like, he's got his own stuff to deal with. Right,
I don't,
now, right?
I don't want that situation at all. You know what I mean? Especially with the how kind of the offense they run. I wouldn't want AB there. Personally, I think the best place for him is Seattle. I don't think Tampa's a good spot for him. It's the one football, and you got Gronk, who he's going to feed. You got Mike Evans. You got Chris Godwin. They just drafted another guy. Like, it's just too many people that need their hands on the ball. And AB, I keep saying it, AB is about AB.
Yeah.
He wants his touches.
But so, I think if there's another guy who's going to be feeding him the ball could help matters, it's probably Russell Wilson.
Russell, who's absolutely.
I'm not even talking about from a football standpoint. I'm talking about just like who he is as a person could help AB become AB again on a football field, if that makes sense. I mean, the way that he is very public with his, beliefs and his opinions and how he carries himself, his life and what matters to him and how out there and not afraid or not ashamed to do so from what he just believes in religiously. And from a societal standpoint, he's very transparent. I think that is somebody that could probably help the situation as well. If you're ever to see Antonio Brown play football again, it's probably your best bet is in Seattle. So I would agree with that. He's Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani with you. Coming up next, the second bubble idea by the NBA has been met with plenty of scrutiny, including one of the game's best. We'll talk about that and more next at Sports Radio 610.
Capital P, capital E, capital A, capital M.
Welcome back at Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani, Cecil Shorts III with you. Tyler Milner producing today. Appreciate him and you for listening. Checking us out today. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text. Appreciate how busy you guys have been keeping the text line all day long. Most definitely. So there's a lot of things, Cecil, that make a lot of sense. As crazy as these times have been over the course of the last 3.5 months, then there's some things that just make absolutely no sense. And, we're getting ready. We're inside of a week now before the NBA begins its reboot of the 2020 season. I think camp starts July 9th. We'll run through the 29th, and the regular season, quote-unquote, begins again July 30th. But there was news yesterday that had come down about a second bubble that was proposed in the NBA that would be held in Chicago. And that would include the other teams that were not invited to the lot of 22 in Orlando to finish out the remainder of the season. So they're going to have eight teams go to Chicago and basically play meaningless games to, I guess, the idea and the way they're selling this is to ramp up for the following season. Brian Windhorst, who was all over it yesterday, broke it down. Take a listen.
The NBA is nearing a finalization of plans to create a second bubble for the eight teams in Chicago in September. Now, this is surprising because less than a week ago, Michelle Roberts, the executive director of the Players Union, threw cold water on this idea and said there's no way we're going to go into a second bubble unless we can have the same protections on players as in Orlando. And that seemed difficult to pull off because of how expensive Orlando is. But when I talk to some executives from those teams who are on the outside, they go, listen, we're paying for Orlando as well. That's our money that we're spending, and we want to have connection not only with our players, but with our fans. We don't want our fans to forget it.
I'm going to give you an opportunity right now, Cecil, to throw water on this, as Brian Windhorst said. Like, do you or do you not agree with this second bubble?
Oh, it's stupid. It's like the NIT tournament to me. It's pointless. Matter of fact,
it's worse than the NIT tournament. Like, at least you can be crowned a champion. Like, this is like, hey,
This is summer league ball. Like,
you are a hater.
This is church league, basically. It's a pro church league that they got going on right now. There's no point in playing.
This is like old school, like Major League Baseball. Like, you know, when you didn't win the pennant, like guys went down to Venezuela and played winter ball, you know, for the winter. But like, even that was better because you could play for something and play for a title and play for records and get ramped up for, you know, training camp. You know, upcoming in February and March. Like, this is legitimately, I'm surprised Brian Windhorst didn't make mention of this, but maybe it's a little bit of sarcasm or just kind of the way that I'm viewing this. But to me, this is nothing more than just to appease the TV rights.
Oh, that's like, it. Oh,
and
that's
financially,
it.
That is it. We've got financial responsibilities that we've got to take care of, and you can opt out, sure. But we've got to have something going on for these other eight teams to make our TV deals right.
That's it. I mean, the Warriors are going to be in it, and they said flat out, Steph Curry is not going to play. Like, they said, Steph is not going to play. There's no point of having him in this. There's no point of this going to help our team. We can't win anything. It's simply for the financial reasons, the obligations they have for their TV rights, their TV contracts, whatever the case may be. And the some coaches have come out and said, listen, we'd rather have, you know, training camp with our own guys. We'd rather have our training camps in our own facilities than going somewhere and playing in Chicago. And it just doesn't make sense to me. Terrible idea. And it's just awful.
Look, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Talk to me, John.
When you've got one of the game's best saying, please, ain't no way.
It's a joke. Who's going to watch it?
Well, that's...
It's to me. Now I take that back because I would view it as summer league ball, right? But I look forward to summer league ball in a normal year where the rookies that are coming in or some young players from the year before are playing. It's the first time you get to see, you know, whoever's in the summer league playing ball, right? From college, from overseas, whatever. But this would be, and no offense to nobody, this would be some of the bench players, the scrubs per se, or guys trying to make the team. And who would be interested in that right now, in this moment?
I get, like, from a certain viewpoint, you could view it as, like...
And when would you watch it?
Summer League and ramping up for the next season. But, like, would you watch it? I asked Wade Smith the question yesterday when that news broke, and he was like, well, you know what? Like, people are so starved for sports at this point in time. Like, when you throw that on in September, people will watch. But, look, I still have to ask the question, like, out of the 22 teams, there are still some pretty, bigger name players. Trevor Ariza being one of them, Dwight Howard being another. Like, and I still think as it gets closer, you could potentially hear more names of guys that decide to opt out. Like, it's not worth the risk. And the numbers that continue to go up could answer their own questions for them. if it's worth the risk or not, regardless of how tight the bubble could possibly be in Orlando. Now you're asking, and you're really assuming, that because they got it going on right now in Orlando, and they like that, that you could do the exact same thing for fewer teams, though, in Chicago. Like, what are the numbers looking like up there right now versus what's projected versus what has already transpired? And not even just that, but, you know, are there guys on those other eight teams that are maybe, you know, potentially more at risk given their family situations versus the 22 win Orlando? Like, there's a million different factors that you have to take into consideration here. But then, too, like, look, if you got dudes dropping out for something that could possibly count in Orlando, there will be an NBA champion crown if this thing goes off without a hitch. You got nothing to play for in Chicago.
Nothing. And then,
what do I need to ramp up for?
Nothing.
Because I could use September and October for rest and ramp up when camp really begins in November, which it will if, in fact, the league is going to start in December on Christmas Day.
Now, I'm telling you, Sean, nobody's going to watch that other bubble. Because in September, you got football. If everything goes as planned, like I said, no hitches. You got football. You have some type of basketball, some type of baseball going on. It'll be other stuff going on that's more interesting than watching eight teams who most likely won't have their star players on the floor.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard for anybody to watch, right? It's just to me, it's just not smart. And I think there's other ways to go about it. Like, let those teams have this time to prepare for next season. Give those guys, give those coaches, okay, listen, you can be whatever the rules are. You can be with your teams. And so maybe have an early training camp. Maybe have some time to really work on it to make the league better. Maybe this can be a time for those teams to get better, get healthy, get some rhythm going on, and try to be able to make the playoffs for next season.
You asked me a question earlier. What if a superstar player gets this virus? Mm. Will the NBA season have an asterisk by it? What if it's Harden? What if it's LeBron? What if it's Giannis? What if they have to miss time 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe the remainder of the season? What then? What happens? What's your immediate thought, reaction to that?
Say, and God forbid anything happens to anybody, but say LeBron gets it, right? And he's out for 2 weeks and it's the middle of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And the Lakers end up losing that series and the Rockets go on to win a championship. And this is the time of year that everybody's going to remember forever, right? Coronavirus, everything that's going on, everybody's going to remember this year. I feel like it'll be an asterisk by it because the best player wasn't on the floor for that opposite team. Same thing if it was Harden and Westbrook.
That's interesting. I'm sure you saw what Austin Rivers said in response to, I think it was Taylor Rooks from Turner Sports, mm-hmm. did a one-on-one with Austin
she
Rivers.
Does a good job. Mm-hmm.
And she asked him, like, okay, well, what do you think about an asterisk being next to, you know, whoever wins the NBA title this year? And Austin Rivers was like, yeah, absolutely. There should be an asterisk, but not for the reason you think. There should be an asterisk next to whoever is crowned an NBA champion because it's going to go down as maybe the toughest championship ever accomplished. And, you know, that's a different way to look at it. I'm guessing most people probably haven't chosen to look at it that way. Rather, the way that you just cited, like, this is a year that nobody's ever going to forget. This is going to be the COVID year, you know, and that's why there's going to be an asterisk next to whoever wins a World Series if that happens, whoever wins an NBA title if that happens, maybe even whoever wins an NFL championship if that happens, and so on and so forth across the sports landscape. But I thought that was interesting that Rivers, you know, looked at it from that viewpoint, but it's going to be subjective at the end of the day because every single sport, in one way or another, whether you're talking about an abbreviated season or just a weird day-in and day-out process, mm-hmm. which that's all as it appears it's going to be now for the NFL, outside of cutting the preseason in half, is just changes to the day-in and day-out process. Travel might be affected, but not really the games right now. There's going to be an asterisk next to it, but it will be between you, me, and everybody else, subjectively, how we view that and why we view it and the level of respect we're going to give. It's not going to be a uniform appreciation in the NBA as Rivers would see it. It's not going to be uniform appreciation in baseball as I'm sure some other players would see it.
I agree with Rivers when he says this will be a, asterisk by, because it'll be a tough year. Whoever can win the championship of the year, it'll be awesome. You fought through adversity, did a great job fighting through it and figuring out a way to be a champion. My issue comes if one of the main players on the opposite team has to sit out because of this coronavirus. Now that makes that opposing team's job easier. So if we're in the NBA Finals and it's Houston versus the Milwaukee Bucks, and Giannis gets the disease, gets the virus, and he has to sit out 2 weeks for quarantine, and then the Rockets go on to win, it's going to be like, well, they didn't play the best player. They didn't play against their best team.
Yeah, but I mean.
So for me, that's like an asterisk there. Like, I get it. It's part of the game. But Giannis didn't play. Does that make sense?
I mean, I get where you're coming from, but you're looking at it from the virus standpoint when injury's injury. Being out is being out. Whether you're being sick from a virus or sick from something else. What about when Kevin Durant got hurt? You know, is there an asterisk? Who beat the Warriors in this last finals?
Raptors, Toronto.
The Raptors. I mean, is there an asterisk next to them?
No.
You know, and look, they did it without Durant on the floor. And a number of other Warriors, you know, were beat up and banged and bruised.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I get where you're coming from, but we've seen these instances for various other reasons in sport championships before.
Yes, but it was a normal year. Mm-hmm. It was a normal 82-game season. It was a normal playoffs. And like you said, injuries happen. This is something that's affecting everybody that's walking the earth.
Here's
right
the question.
Now.
Would this even be a question? Because would the NBA consider, like, if one of its top players did contract the virus, would they just say, you know what, we got to shut it down? We got to shut it down.
That is a great question. That I don't think so.
And I think timing is key, right? Because it's one thing if a major player or players contract it during this, you know, round two of an abbreviated regular season before the playoffs versus it happening in the midst of the playoffs. Like, do you shut it down in the middle of the playoffs?
That's a great question. And it goes back to what we're talking about with the NFL when they're testing every other day. So if Tom Brady tests positive on Friday and he wakes up on Sunday and he miraculously is negative or whatever the case may be, it's just interesting, right? Because you're going to be testing throughout the year. When big games come, when playoffs come and somebody tests positive the day before or the day of, will we really know? Will they let him play? And then afterwards, like, it's just so much that goes into it.
The NFL has a little bit of an advantage here, though, because testing is one way now. It takes, 24 to 48 hours to find out whether you're positive or negative for the virus right now. Who's to say that testing is not advanced over the course of the next month and a half, 2 months?
Very true.
I mean, is there something where you could come in the morning and test and you get that answer by the afternoon?
Very true.
I don't know what it takes. You know, I had the flu like 5-6 months ago, whatever it is, right? I mean, I was sick as a dog. I've never missed a week of work because of the flu before, and I was just done for, right? I went to CVS and got, you know, tested to see what the heck I had. And there was two strands of the flu, right? Flu A, flu B. I got, you know, pricked and, P test or whatever. And bam, a couple minutes later, oh, you got flu B. And it took 5 minutes. Are they going to be looking at that some situation like that in a couple of months' time? And how does that change the dynamic with everything, with the NFL, with baseball, basketball, who knows? He's Cecil Shorts, Sean Bajani with you until 6 o'clock. It's Sports Radio 610 coming up next. Everyone's affected by this virus one way or another, but Cecil Shorts wants to know which Houston team has the best opportunity to be successful and which team will be the most successful through all of this. We'll discuss next. It's Sports Radio 610. Sports Radio 610 back with you alongside Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani with you until 6 o'clock. Tyler Milner producing, doing a great job as always. 713-572-4610 if you'd like to get in. 572-4610, you can call or text. So Cecil asked me a good question before the show, and right away when you asked me, Cecil, I had my answer. I mean, I knew it already. I knew it yesterday. Which Houston team has the best opportunity to be successful and which team will be the most successful through all of this that we've been through given the pandemic and the circumstances? I mean, I've got my answer, and I feel like you were kind of going back and forth in your mind.
I was.
But I'm going to go ahead and flat out tell you that it's the Houston Rockets. They've got the best opportunity to be successful, and I think they will be the most successful.
Wow.
Well, I think they've got the best opportunity because of everything that we've seen, and not as much as what we've heard, but in terms of what we've seen, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, you know, training and working their butts off to prepare for this season. And look, I know a lot of other guys are doing that as well, but that duo was, I really think, starting to come into their own. Even though the Rockets had kind of struggled before this COVID mess hit with their play on the court, they were banged up, man. They were banged up. Eric Gordon wasn't himself. And I think, you know, Russell and James were still trying to figure out a way to coexist and what, you know, formula works best for them. Mike D'Antoni spoke to my brother who writes for The Athletic a couple of days ago.
He does a great job, by the way.
He does, man. He's fantastic. I'm so jealous of him. he makes everything look so easy and sound so easy. He does a great job.
Oh, yeah. So real quick, not to cut you off, we did a TV segment together, and he was on about basketball. I came on him after football. And like you said, he made it look so easy. Like, he knew exactly what he was talking about. He was on point with everything. I'm like, I got to follow that. Golly. Like, he did a really good job.
At Rockets Insider on Twitter for my bro Ali, he didn't do anything for like 4 months, and they had him on Channel 11 to talk basketball or whatever like a few weeks ago, and just I was watching him. I was like, dude, it's like, that's why awesome. I hate you. You're always on your game. You're always, yeah, he always texts me, how'd that sound? How'd that sound? I'm like, dude, you suck. You know, you're always on your game. But I think, you know, what he asked Mike D'Antoni is, after doing all of this film study, you know, you've had all this time, you've had all this opportunity to pour over film. Like, why do you think you guys are better prepared now than before? And D'Antoni went on, you know, pretty, gave him a great answer and basically said, look, it's one thing to have all this time, but I made it a point to not overstudy. And I don't want to overstudy and then go out and overcoach. You know, still about chemistry. It's about just playing our tempo and being able to drive instead of, you know, so much drive and kick and stuff like that and settle. And I was really encouraged to hear that because that told me that he was going to really be open-minded and think about utilizing these guys' strength. And now you talk about bringing Luke Bahamute back, who was a difference maker in the 2017-2018 season. And if that dude's healthy, we could be talking about a Houston Rockets championship that season as well. And, you know, they don't have those woes, you know, seasons after and getting past the Golden State Warriors. That was a season they would have done it, I think. The Chris Paul hamstring, Luke Bahamute not being healthy. There are all of those reasons, bringing experience, the familiarity with the organization, Harden transforming his body, Westbrook and those two guys coming together, and I think D'Antoni and the staff really being a little bit more open-minded and just ready to get these guys going again. I also feel like, too, Daryl Morey, he catches a lot of flack for the things that he says and the way that he says it and why he says it. But you know what? I haven't heard any other GM out there in the NBA talking about why their team should win the NBA championship. I know talk is cheap. I know talk is cheap. But it means something to me, and I'm going to give it its respect because I haven't heard anybody else say it. I almost feel like the Rockets might, you know, catch lightning in a bottle, if you want to put it that way, or just kind of strike while the iron's hot. While everybody else might have been kind of letting their guard down through this whole pandemic, the Rockets seem as hungry as anybody, and they're ready to get this deal done.
This is something I was going back and forth with. Because I do agree with you when it comes to the Rockets having the best opportunity to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sold on that they will be the actual team to be most successful through all this, right? Because I think that it's a more of an even playing field now in the NBA that everything's happened. The Rockets are fully healthy. Nobody's banged up. Like you mentioned, D'Antoni, they've been studying, but not overstudying, being a lot open to what's going on. If you look at Harden and the way his body looks now, I mean, it looks like he lost about 10 to 15 of that baby fat that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already unstoppable on the court. But if he's in shape, able to move around and do more because of his body is more leaner, it's going to be crazy. So for me, I was battling between all three teams. I think all three teams have a good chance to have a good year. For the Astros, I was worried about the pitching staff just being uncertain on how much will Verlander need, and you can answer this for me, how much will Verlander need to be comfortable with his arm? How much will Lance McCullers need? How many innings will he need to be pitched for him to be comfortable? And who are the other two in the starting rotation besides the big three right now? You know what I mean? And that fell into play with me. The bats are good, they'll be fine. But that fell into play with me for the Astros.
Those are probably the biggest questions surrounding those guys, you know, in my opinion. I feel like I was thinking about this a lot yesterday. I'm glad you brought this up. You know, look, Verlander, this was a beautiful thing for him, a blessing in disguise because it allowed him to get healthy. And really the same thing with Lance McCullers. I wonder, with all the talk about him being on a pitch limit, if that's actually still a thing, you know, because he's had so much time off, an exorbitant amount of time, unusually for a guy who has that injury, has to get Tommy John, come back, he's on a pitch count limit, you know, and you're on a regular schedule of rehab. Like, yeah, but now you've had an extra, you know, 3.5 months off, and it's totally different now.
It's totally different, not to cut you off, but it's always a smart thing to do to have a plan, to have a pitch count or a play count, whatever the case may be, coming back into real live action. Because that real live action, as we all know, you get your blood flowing, everything starts going,
it's fair.
And you start doing a little more than what you should do, or you might result back to bad habits that was the reason why you got that particular injury.
That's a good point. And then I'm thinking too, well, they're only going to play 60 games. So 60 if they games. Have a 5-man rotation, and let's just say it includes Verlander, Greinke, your 1 and 2, with McCullers being your 3.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Urquidy's your 4. Mm-hmm. And so your 5 spots probably between Austin Pruitt, Framber Valdez, Josh James. I don't think Forrest Whitley really factors into it yet just because of the service time issue there. But let's call it Framber Valdez. Okay, I think we saw a lot of him. We saw a little bit of Josh James in that spot, and it was mixed results, right? But, you know, I think we'd all agree that Framber's got a little bit of that dog that Jose Urquidy has in him. These guys are probably going to get 5 starts apiece. So if Lance McCullers is getting 5 starts over 60 games, right? I mean, is that even enough time to ramp up to like what he would normally be pitching? Is that a good thing? Does that work to the Astros or his personal advantage? I don't know. But the number one thing that I thought is like, okay, well, you have a new manager. You have a few guys that are new on the staff, and certainly a new guy calling the shots with management and general manager Jeremy Click, now that Hinch and Luno are gone. This is a whole nother dynamic where you usually have the whole first half of the season to kind of familiarize yourself with each other. Now you're taking the first half and making it the whole season.
Yeah.
So you lose that that time, the ability to create chemistry, to ramp up for playoffs. It's like by the time you get ramped up, hey, playoffs are starting. You know, there's a different dynamic there. That's kind of why I don't give the advantage to the baseball team in this town.
Yep.
I give the advantage to the basketball team who, chemistry was already starting to be developed. But during this time, there's a lot philosophically that you can get done, you know, personally, from a mental and physical standpoint that you can get done, and they're allowing basically an entire month of training camp to get ramped back up and ball together in something they've already done. So that's why I give them the advantage. The Texans, I'm not even talking about them because they always have questions.
Yeah.
You know?
The thing about the Texans, it's not even a question. I'm worried about not having the offseason. They might go off to a slow start. They might not. You know what I mean? It's just so much that goes into it right now with the NFL. And the NFL hasn't played yet, so anything can happen between now and September. I'm just worried about the slow starts, stuff like that. I think they'll be okay, but I just think the Rockets have the best opportunity right now to go out there and actually get a championship with everything. I think it's a clean slate in the NBA. I think it's a lot more even than what we think it is, because everybody's back healthy. Everybody basically, the coaches have been watching film, studying each other, preparing for this moment. And if I want to put two guys on a team, on a floor right now, Russell Westbrook and James Harden are two of the guys I want to put out there.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook is a madman. I know that he is going to be ready to play. Like, I know this.
There's no doubt
in my mind he's going to be ready. And then James Harden, I think, is going to be the same.
Seeing, you know, like, I get pumped up watching these guys, you know, put these workout videos out and what they're doing on Instagram and things like that. And to see Russell Wilson, you know, grinding and Harden grinding, like, you already know Westbrook is a dog. Like, and people talk more about that now because, well, there's no basketball being played. But, you know, when he is playing ball, they're dogging on him for whatever reason, for whatever happened in the past. And look, I get it because, look, I hated Russell Westbrook when he wasn't here. You know, he was like, he's probably one of the definitions of those guys across sport that you hate. You hate that guy when he's not on your team, but you know you love him when he is.
Yeah.
Draymond Green is another one of those guys.
Absolutely one of those guys. I can't stand him.
You know, Steph Curry's another one. Yeah. There's a lot of those guys. Just guys you love to hate unless they're on your squad. Dennis Rodman was the epitome of that back in the 90s when he was with the Bulls and the Spurs and the Pistons and things like that. But I think, like, because Russell Wilson is doing what he's doing and he's clearly bought in and is just ready to go and he's ready to seize that opportunity, like, that just kind of reinforces my confidence in why I think the Rockets, you know, have as good a shot as anybody else named the Lakers or the Clippers to win a title this year. I just firmly believe that. I gave him a chance before, even when they were playing crap basketball, because guess what? Good teams go through stretches where they play bad basketball. The ebb and flow of the season, that's just the norm. It's why you play 82 games.
They'll definitely have their shot. I just think out of the Houston teams, the Astros, the Rockets, and the Texans, the Rockets would definitely have the best opportunity. Will they do it? I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
I'm pounding on the table hoping so. It's still going to be difficult.
So who are you putting your money on right now? I mean, answer your own question. I mean, I chose the Rockets. I mean, who do you have?
For me, this is tough. Which team will be had the most success this year? I'm going to say the Rockets.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. The best opportunity, I say, is the Rockets. Who will be most successful? I'm going to say the Texans.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to say the Texans. It's just
total dark horse.
It's just something about Deshaun Watson that I feel comfort in him.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome.
Tyler was looking in here like with his glare. He's like wondering, like, dude.
That threw me all the way up.
I legitimately thought I had you totally convinced on both questions that it was going to be the Houston Rockets.
And no, you had me convinced, especially on the first one, but it's just which team will be most successful? Deshaun Watson. To me, Deshaun Watson is the best player in Houston right now.
Cecil Shorts and Sean Bajani at Sports Radio 610. You answer the question. 713-572-4610. You can call or text. Which team here in Houston is going to be the most successful given the current issues that we're having with the pandemic? I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's the Houston Rockets. You know, getting back to the Astros real quick to kind of, you know, I make another argument against them, and I hate to do that. I just think that's the way that it is. When baseball season does start back up, and I know they officially started workouts today, but when games, maybe before games actually start to get played, there's still going to be storyline 1B. It's going to be COVID until it's not.
Yeah.
But when you consider the number one topic in baseball, people aren't going to forget that the Astros cheated their way to a World Series. People aren't going to remember that, oh, yeah, well, the Red Sox got caught too and they got punished. And, oh, yeah, the Yankees story, you know, these documents, but we haven't seen the documents and, you know, all this and that. And until we see it, it's conjecture, you know. It's just another narrative for the Astros to say, you know, well, they were doing it too. That's what you're going to hear, and that's what we've already heard, and that's going to be another big-time storyline, and it's going to eat at you. If you're a big-time Astro fan, if you're a Houston sports fan, and I know, you know, look, it's going to get under your skin until it doesn't. It's one of those things that, you know, I guess time kind of heals all wounds, or in this case, you're not going to forgive, but you're probably going to end up forgetting because it's going to be mucked up with everything else.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big-time storyline. And I feel like that was a legitimate question, how they handle that when games are played. With Dusty Baker and this team, can you make the argument for or against them benefiting with this time off? I would almost make the argument that it's a bad thing for them having all of this time off because there hadn't been the opportunity to build chemistry. Mm. There hadn't been the opportunity to deal with the day-in and day-out questions. They're not at home, you know, after a BP session or throwing a bullpen, thinking about ways they're going to answer these questions and how that's going to affect them. That roller coaster, that wave is going to come all over again, and it's going to be yet another distraction. How are you handling the day-to-day with the COVID? How are you handling the day-to-day knowing that you guys are cheaters? And what are you guys doing this year in the shortened season to, you know, find an advantage? You know, like, I could just totally see, like, Yankee reporters asking these questions. Like, it's just going to be a fiasco.
It's going to be crazy, but I think it'll make it even sweeter when they do handle business like they should.
If they do, yeah.
Let me actually just say it on baseball. The text line has some really good comments, especially supporting your small ball. I mean, your Rockets. It says small ball can work for the abbreviated season. Rockets return to health. I think that's a good point. During the season, they were kind of worn down because they were the smaller team. They were kind of getting beat up a little bit, and it's tougher. And they have to work harder being the smaller team
as far as
hustling for rebounds, playing defense, getting back the whole nine. But that could work. But going back to baseball, now Click came from Tampa Bay, right?
Yes.
He was in that front office. Now Tampa Bay, aren't they really good in their rotation of four or five innings? Like they do a good job of splitting up their pitching staff.
They've experimented here in the last couple of years with the opener, right? And so it's kind of been one of those situations where, you know, they have like their top two, three guys in a rotation, their starters, but, you know, on that fourth or fifth day, they'll use an opener. Maybe he goes a couple of batters or a full inning, depending on the success he has, right? Maybe even two innings. I think they've even gone as deep as three this previous season. Then they'll bring in the starter. So it's just kind of playing the game of baseball backwards, if you will.
Is that something you think they'll bring to this abbreviated season here with what we have going on in Houston?
You know what I thought about that, given Lance McCullers' presumed pitch count coming off of Tommy John? But now that you've had so much time off, I don't know that they would consider that. I don't even know if they were considering that to begin with. I thought if the Astros were going to do that, if they were going to go with, an opener here, well, you would certainly do it on day three of your rotation when it's time for McCullers to pitch because he's already going to be on a pitch count. But if you could bring in like an Austin Pruitt or a Josh James to start a game or whoever, right? If it's maybe even Framber Valdez, if he doesn't lock up that, fifth spot in the rotation, maybe you start him for a couple of innings, and then you bring McCullers in, and he gets you to the seventh inning, you know, theoretically, and then you've got your, you know, eight, nine inning guys. Like, that would be perfect. But I don't know if that would even be a thought that's entertained by the Astros right now. That's a question. Look, Lance McCullers has probably already talked today. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he was asked that question. I wonder if that was something that was addressed in terms of a pitch count. We will try to look and get that for you. As the show rolls along, we're here until 6. So, hey, we got a little opportunity to do that for you, right? He's Cecil Shorts III. Sean Bajani with you, like I said, here until 6. Coming up next, the top 3 at 3 is next on Sports Radio 610. Welcome back. It's Sports Radio 610, 3 o'clock hour, alongside Cecil Shorts III. I am Sean Bajani. Tyler Milner producing. Glad to have you with us. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. Hope you guys are starting to enjoy a July 4th weekend. Time now for our top 3 at 3. And
numero uno.
Wow, we're going Espanol. That's number one for all of you out there listening. Major League Baseball officially canceled the 2020 All-Star Game. The Dodgers, which was a team that was supposed to host it, I think for the first time since like 1980, they're going to do it in 2022.
It's been that long?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, you think, like, all right, how many new, like, the new stadiums typically get it, right?
Okay.
And so I guess, like, I don't know. I'm sure there's been, like, a pretty steady stream of, like, new baseball stadiums since the late 80s and up to this point. I'm sure the Rangers are set to get one, and they're going to play in their little tin can at some point. Now you see all the like the memes and things on Twitter the last week or so since they revealed what their stadium looks like.
There's some good ones out there.
Yeah, it looks like a sardine can. I've seen people post like like world's largest Costco or Home Depot. It just looks really bad. If you Google like Rangers new ballpark, if you have not seen it yet, one, they stole a lot of the aesthetics from Minute Maid. So it just looks like a really, really ugly Minute Maid Park. And that roof, it like, if they didn't take up like 6 city blocks to build that stupid thing, the roof rolls over like all of that.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.